You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, our guests tell us about an effort to use the arts to improve the quality of life for people living in long-term care centers for seniors.
First, the weather finally getting warmer here in Wisconsin, which means the bugs are back, even though mosquitoes get a lot of media attention for spreading diseases like Zika. Ticks, it turns out, transmit more pathogens to humans and animals.
Gemma Tarlak is with us to share surprising facts about bug bites and other science news.
Gemma Tarlak's a senior editor at Discover Magazine based in Waukesha. She joins us once a month for a look at some of the coolest science headlines. Gemma, welcome back.
Hello, my fellow science lovers.
Well, we'll get to those bugs in just a few minutes, but I want to start with another story this month, vibrating insoles that are going to help our balance as we age. What's up with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, all of us, you, me, your mom, we all have neurons in our feet.
Which I don't think of. I think of neurons in my head, in my brain.
Yeah, well, you got them in your feet too, trust me. And that really, it actually helps us control balance. And as we age, they get desensitized. And that's actually one of the big reasons that a lot of senior citizens have poor balance and falls, which, as we know, can lead to really devastating injuries. So this inventor, he is working through Harvard to develop this insole. It looks like your average insole that you would, you know, stick in a shoe, whether you have, I don't know, odor eaters or whatever kind of orthotic insole you use. And it actually, through vibrations you can't feel, sensitizes or resensitizes those neurons, and it helps seniors maintain their balance.
So these are vibrations that you can't feel, so you're not going to be walking along and feeling tingling feet, it sounds
right.
Like. Your brain
it's
is
not going
just
to be like magic fingers for your feet, no.
But how come these aren't available yet, Gemma?
Well, actually, the interesting thing is the prototype is done, they're happy with it, but they're just not quite sure how to get licensing and bring it to market, because they can go through, say, a medical device company and get FDA approval, but because this is such a new thing, they're not sure if they need to go that route or if they should pair with, you know, like a footwear company that might give them a higher profile in terms of marketing. So they're talking to a lot of people and really deciding on the best, most effective way to bring this to market.
And Gemma, let me make sure I understand how this works. Does this only work when you're wearing these magic slippers, or are they resensitized? Sensitizing these neurons in your feet so they're going to work even when you're not wearing, when you're barefoot or wearing something else?
My understanding is that it works when you're wearing them.
Okay.
But the great thing is the design is so low profile that you could fit them in your gym shoes, you could fit them in your dress shoes, because early on when they first started working on this, the design, it had this like huge battery pack that you had to clip to your shoe and everything. Now it just looks like any other insole.
Nice. Well, we're going to move on now and talk about gravitational waves. Obviously, huge news about gravitational waves out this year. So first of all, Gemma, catch us up on that.
Okay. What, I have 30 seconds to do it?
Go. You have 30 seconds.
20 words or less. Go.
Well, you know, 100 years after Einstein predicted it, they did finally detect these gravitational waves, which is a key. It's key to really understanding our universe in a whole new way. And we detected them through LIGO. That's the actual instrumentation. It's in Washington State and Louisiana. But the really exciting new news is that there's a thing called Kagra, and that is in Japan, in central Japan. It is another gravitational wave detector that they're almost done building. It's going to come online soon, and they're going to have data in less than 2 years. And that's going to give us even more additional information so we can understand these waves much better and how they relate to pretty much everything in the world. The cool thing about the Japanese observation system, by the way, it's in a mountain. So it is not subject to, you know, you might think of Japan, there's a lot of seismic activity, it's on the Ring of Fire. Fortunately, this is going to be more stable, and it's going to allow them to do reading despite the fact that Japan is a pretty seismically active country.
And as I understand it, some of the instruments go down like a third of a mile under the surface. Why do they need to do that?
Well, it helps stabilize, as I said, from seismic activity on the surface. And it just really, you know, I think part of it is, too, that they have this disused zinc mine. They needed something in it. No, I'm oversimplifying things. But there are a lot of reasons why it's really good for stability and for the accuracy of the data.
So, Gemma, this news was broken just last year about the discovery of gravitational waves. Does this mean that if that first lab hadn't gotten to it, this Japanese lab would have gotten to it first a couple years down the road?
Well, actually, the discovery, I think it was in February of this year. You know, there are a lot of really smart people out there who have been hunting this thing for decades, and the data that they have, it's not, even though they announced it at the beginning of this year, it's not like they got the data this year. The data, they've had it for a while, and they've just been basically double and triple checking it. So then they announced it this year, but it's been a while that they've had it. And, you know, sure, I think COGRA is going to just add to the breadth of information that we have about gravitational waves.
Talking to Gemma Tarlak from Discover Magazine, running up some of the top recent stories in the world of science. Let's take a quick look at gene sequencing, Gemma. There's been a lot of new technology getting easier and cheaper. What's the latest on what's called, this is a great name, the CRISPR-Cas9 technology?
Yeah, well, you know, I think a lot of times we hear news stories of people talking about CRISPR-Cas9. It's like, I don't know, it's just everywhere. But we jump into explaining exactly what CRISPR is. It really is, you want to think of a cut-and-paste editor that works on genes rather than, you know, words. And we get into it pretty deeply in terms of what it is and how it's being used by several different organizations in the Bay Area, in San Francisco area. Huge amount of innovation going on there, and it's so ubiquitous out there that even high school students are using it in their experiments.
And Gemma, just quickly before we move on to bug bites, so what is some of the cool stuff that people are starting to do with this? There's a boom going on right now.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the coolest things, and also I think maybe one of the scariest things, there is a guy in the San Francisco area, Josiah Zahner, who is selling do-it-yourself CRISPR kits for like $60 or so.
Wow.
You can go online, search DIY CRISPR kits, learn modern science by doing. That's his pitch. And, for $60, you can get this kit, and you can do simple experiments with it. It's not like you're going to be able to, you know, suddenly increase your athletic ability or something like that, but you can turn yeast different colors and do that kind of thing and really understand how the technology works by actually doing it.
So we can't recreate Jurassic Park in our basements yet.
Speak for yourself.
I think Gemma's saying we're almost there.
Almost.
That's
there.
What I
Sounds
heard her
good.
Saying.
Well, Gemma, we teased the bug bites. People want to hear about the bugs. It's that time of year. Now, first of all, you wrote about 20 things we didn't know. First of all, when we're saying bugs here, we're not technically talking mostly about bugs, are we?
That's right. Bed bugs are bugs. They're true bugs. They belong to the order Hemiptera. But, you know, when we say mosquitoes and ticks and flies and fleas, those are not actually bugs. They're insects, but they're not bugs. So anyway, let's not go that bug lane for them all. But yeah, you know, colloquially we say bug bites. And Mother's Day was yesterday, and so it was on my mind, the truth about mosquitoes. Mosquitoes who bite us, they are real mothers, okay? And in the sense that they, only females who are about to reproduce bite in terms of mosquitoes. So So it's only females who are looking to reproduce and make baby mosquitoes. They're the only ones who actually bite, and it's because they need the protein and iron and blood to produce their eggs. And I think this is really interesting. There's this jumping spider in eastern Africa that has evolved to feed preferentially on female mosquitoes. So I think that's like karma. You know?
Well, what do you make of it that the mosquitoes seem to only bite pregnant women, or at least they prefer pregnant women? I shouldn't say they only, but they seem to have a preference, right?
Yeah, they're actually about twice as likely to bite pregnant women. And that's another kind of unjustified karma bit, right? But they think it has to do with a lot of different factors, including pregnant women happen to have a increased body temperature, so they're a little bit warmer. They may be easier to find. It may be chemicals that they're secreting during gestation that also attract the mosquitoes. So, yeah, it seems awful, doesn't it? You know?
It's not fair.
Well, and while we're talking about quote-unquote bugs, mosquitoes, of course, carry a lot of diseases. But you write, and we kind of know this here in Wisconsin, ticks carry a big variety of diseases.
Yeah, they do. And they're also unusual in that they don't have like a one-and-done relationship with their host. You know, they hang on, literally, sometimes for weeks, and they feed multiple times. And, you know, there was just recently looking at their saliva, tick saliva. I'm sorry for anyone eating right now. But tick saliva is really fascinating because they have evolved all these special enzymes that can actually do things like dull the pain so you don't really feel like you're, you know, being bitten. Maybe you don't notice. So tick saliva is pretty fascinating.
Gemma, that was just a taste, an unpleasant taste of all the bug facts you reveal. Thank you, as always. It's been a lot of fun.
Same here. Thank you.
It's Gemma Tarlak, senior editor at Discover Magazine, based in Waukesha. She joins us every month to look at some of the coolest science headlines.
Coming up after the news, we'll hear about a theater project in Milwaukee that aims to improve the quality of life for people living in senior care centers. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferrett. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.